Quorum at the end. Yep, we're good.
House Committee on Revenue for March 27th, 2017 will come to order. Colleagues, as you can see, it's exactly 1 o'clock, and we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3298.
It's only a joke.
Christine?
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3298 has a -1 amendment in OLIS. And so the measure takes the existing home mortgage interest deduction and instead creates a refundable personal income tax credit for the mortgage interest payments. And that's only for individuals who claim some type of home mortgage interest deduction. It applies to, and it gets rid of the home mortgage interest deduction and replaces it with that credit, or credit is refundable. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2018 and before January 1st, 2024. The -1 sets the amount of the credit to $994 for joint taxpayers and $855 for all other taxpayers. And then there's a phase out range from $100,000 to $150,000 in adjusted gross income for single taxpayers and married filing jointly taxpayers, and $200,000 to $350,000 for joint taxpayers. In OLIS, there is also a document called the -1 distribution. I was able to kind of come up with some average distributions and the way that it would affect households at various income levels. And so here it's somewhat of a redistribution, but from the higher income households to the lower income households. And you can see there the net impacts. The first column is the change due to Oregon taxes, and then the change due to federal taxes is often in the opposite direction as the change in Oregon taxes. And so the net impact is over in the right-hand column. So for single returns, households with greater than $100,000 in income would see their total tax bills go up, while those less than that would have a net decline in their tax bills. And the joint returns, the households over the $100,000 to $200,000 category would start to see an increase in their taxes, and the lower in levels of income would see a decrease. And the amounts are set to be nearly revenue neutral for the measure. And so it might need to be just a little smidge lower because it was designed to phase out at $300,000. So adding that tail at $350,000, it may just need to change a little bit to be revenue neutral. Yes, and also the Department of Revenue had some concerns if the bill were to move forward, just with some administrative details, but they just needed an administrative amendment to conform to something. I haven't actually checked with them about what that is, though.
Okay. Sounds good. Clear as mud, everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick initial hit, which is not really serious, but indication of the way I think about things, at least, is that looks like it raises revenue a little bit for us and decreases it for the federal government. And being an old-fashioned federalist, that sounds fine to me. So let's take our testimony. And Nessie, Sean Gillian, and Daniel Hauser, please. Call the three of you because you're the three people who signed up.
Makes sense.
My name is Ann Nessie, and I'm testifying for Tax Fairness Oregon. And I am testifying somewhat against this bill, possibly because of what you were mentioning was the revenue neutral, and I'll tell you why. The bill is very similar to House Bill 2006, and we think it's inferior, so you have a choice. There are two main differences that are very important to note. First is that the cap of the mortgage interest deduction reduction for the higher income earners is very high, over $350,000 annual adjusted income for joint filers, which was probably meant to be $300,000 because it should have doubled what the single filer would have made, $150,000. Whereas the cap of the mortgage interest deduction reduction in House Bill 2006 is $200,000 for joint filers. Both of these are for primary residences only. Second is that House Bill 3298 broadens the subsidy for only those who itemize to all but the wealthiest homeowners. I mean, if you make over $350,000, that's a pretty good sum. And it creates a refundable tax credit, but does nothing to direct impact for the severe housing shortages in our state, which House Bill 2006 does do. It continues the subsidy of those with homes and high incomes rather than addressing those without homes. We suggest we together promote the House Bill 2006 that will adequately address our problems with an estimated generation. It already has an estimated generation of funds of close to $300 million for this biennium. We can then help solve housing problems all over the state.
Thank you.
Want me to go next? Go all the pros and favor.
Yeah. Chair Barnhart, Vice Chair Smith Warner, Vice Chair Benson, members of the committee. My name is Daniel Hauser, and I'm a policy analyst with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. The center's mission is to use research and analysis to advance policies that improve the lives of all Oregonians through economic and social opportunities. I am testifying today in support of House Bill 3298 with some key amendments. We applaud this committee for having the courage to seriously assess if Oregon's $1.1 billion housing subsidy, known as the mortgage interest deduction, is truly the best way to address our state's crises in housing and homelessness. And Oregon is facing a housing crisis. Families are being evicted from their homes, and there are more homeless school children in Oregon than during the depths of the last Great Recession. Further, Oregon's rural counties are some of the least affordable rural counties in the nation. The mortgage interest deduction is doing nothing to help these Oregonians in need. The mortgage interest deduction is an upside-down housing subsidy, mainly helping those who don't need help. Only Oregonians who own a home, have a mortgage, and itemize their deductions are eligible to use it. This results in only 3 in 10 Oregonians claiming the deduction, and almost 2/3 of these benefits going to the wealthiest 1/5 of Oregonians. By shifting from a tax deduction to a refundable credit, this bill would extend the subsidy to lower-income homeowners who currently do not itemize their tax deductions. That would be an improvement over the current system that mainly rewards the more well-off homeowners. The bill would also make this housing subsidy more transparent, and that is a very good thing. Right now, many homeowners probably have no idea of the value of the housing subsidy they get from the mortgage interest deduction. Other homeowners may think they get a subsidy, but in fact don't, because they take the standard deduction. By turning the deduction into a refundable tax credit, Oregonians will know the exact value of their housing subsidy. House Bill 3298 has two positive components we want to highlight. First, it is means-tested to ensure wealthy Oregonians are not receiving an unnecessary subsidy. And I will note that I prepared these remarks prior to the Dash 1 amendment that allows it to go up to $350,000 for joint filers, which I would perhaps argue is a bit more generous than we would encourage. Second, it does not subsidize Oregonians' second homes, a travesty when so many do not have a place to safely rest. We have two recommendations for improving the bill. First, House Bill 3298 should not have a flat credit cap, as is indicated in Section 2 of the bill. Instead, the credit amount should be a percentage of the mortgage interest paid in the prior year, with a reasonable limit on the total amount of the credit. By tying the credit to the interest amount paid, the subsidy would better reflect the cost of owning a home. Second, this bill should generate tax savings to reinvest in addressing the state's severe housing crisis, rather than attempt to be revenue neutral. House Bill 2006, a bill before the House Committee on Housing and Human Services, would reform the mortgage interest deduction in a way that generates almost $300 million in tax savings, as mentioned earlier, and reinvest it in increasing homeownership, increasing the supply of affordable rental units, and actually preventing and addressing homelessness, or at least making strides in that direction. We would urge this committee to amend this bill so it also raises $300 million in the next biennium and directs the revenue in the same way as House Bill 2006. Let me give you an example of what that would accomplish. House Bill 2006 would reinvest 25% of the tax savings, equal to almost $75 million, into the emergency housing account. This would allow our state to stabilize almost 22,000 families in need of emergency shelter and transitional housing. Contrast that sum with the over 21,000 children in Oregon schools currently experiencing homelessness, and it becomes clear that this investment would be a real game changer for Oregonians struggling to find stable housing. Thank you for considering this important piece of legislation, and we encourage your support for House Bill 3298 with this, with amendments noted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Sean Jillians representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. I didn't realize I was going to testify on House Bill 2006, so I was going through my notes to bring some of those talking points up. Obviously, I was going to focus a little more on the bill actually before you today.
Well, that would be a useful thing.
I thought you might appreciate that, Mr. Chair. I apologize. Christine just put the numbers up there, so we've been sort of waiting to see exactly what the dollar figures would look like. The concept of shifting the mortgage interest deduction to a credit is one actually that's been explored for a while. This isn't a new idea, and I think the underlying purpose, as you know, Mr. Chair, is to ensure that lower income folks actually receive some of the benefit from the mortgage interest deduction, because by and large they don't itemize their deductions. They have a lower income level, and they're also typically have less interest to write off. So the idea has been explored. Actually, it's been championed at the federal level by our U.S. Senator, Senator Merkley. So it was sort of interesting to hear the opposition to the credit side of things. I think looking at something that's revenue neutral and how we examine this and who benefits from it, I think that's a positive conversation. If you actually look at how I signed up on the log, I didn't put a position either way, typically because I was waiting to see these amendments and where we were going to set them at. Mortgage interest deduction in general, just a couple of things to put out there since it's been such a hot topic this session. The states that utilize the mortgage interest deduction the most are those states that have very high housing prices and very high income tax rates. We fall in that category, unfortunately. And so you see the utilization when you look across the United States of what states use it the most. The West Coast is always highlighted there. We just tend to have high housing costs. When we look at the impacts on rural Oregon, I certainly appreciate that some of my colleagues have recognized now that we do have a problem with housing costs in rural Oregon compared to every other state primarily. I would say that is not a factor of the mortgage interest deduction, but for our unique land use system that no one has replicated since the inaction of Senate Bill 100. And I would welcome those folks who are concerned about housing costs in rural parts of our state to engage in land use conversations as well that we've all been engaged in for a number of years. With that, Mr. Chair, I know that this was just sort of a throw it out there idea when we just got the amendment and the figures. Happy to have further conversation with you all and answer any questions.
Thank you very much. So we have no, yes, maybe.
I'm sorry, you know, it's because it was amended that it changed.
Right. Thank you. Questions for this panel? Let me simply note that a lot of this is an arithmetic exercise at this level. It could make significant differences for families based on their income and their other trajectories. In 2006, or this bill might benefit some people more and others less, and it depends on individual circumstances. And of course, if part of the object is to raise money, then the numbers for the credit would have to be set quite differently than they are now, or 2006 would be the correct approach. For me, at least, the key takeaway for both this bill and House Bill 2006 is that we are subsidizing in very large amounts housing for people who are very, very well off with the mortgage interest deduction. Lower income people with smaller houses and less mortgage benefit some. And our ability to actually deal with the fact that we have a huge problem with housing all of our people maybe at least in part because of the maldistribution of the way in which we subsidize the way in which we subsidize housing, and I suspect I'm going to get a response to that from the realtors. Please, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think a great deal of what you said is obviously true, but I think it's what our definition of very well off is. When Christine ran the numbers for House Bill 2006 and we looked at sort of the talking points of the top 60% of the benefit goes to the top 20%, we're talking about filers at $84,000 a year, and that's for joint and single filers at $84,000 a year. So for those of you who are sitting at the dais from the Portland area, $84,000 a year is not someone very well off in the region, especially where you have a median home value over $400,000 a year.
Yes. Thank you. And a great response. Anything else for this panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does the department want to be heard today? I understand there's some technical issues. Don't all jump at once. I guess not. With that, we'll... Oh, yes, maybe so. I have to tell you, I don't know whether we're moving on this bill or not. And if there are issues the department's concerned about, it'd be nice to get them on the record.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Mark Garst with the Oregon Department of Revenue Property Tax Division.
Yes, I realize.
Unfortunately, that. I'm not really aware of the issues that our folks have seen on the income tax side. But I mean, as Chris stated, we're happy to work with you on whatever it does. And it doesn't sound like it's anything fatal, just some administrative issues that we'd like to get clarified, I think, is what it sounded like to me. So.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Representative Bueller?
Yeah.
Don't go away. You're getting a question. Even though you said I don't know anything, you're getting a question.
I'm gonna test that signal. Thank you, Chair. My understanding that at the federal level, the IRS has a maximum mortgage amount that you can claim interest deduction of $1 million.
And that's we'll direct that to the staff because. Can you tell us what that is?
Is that the case at the state, too?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Bueller, that's the case for the state as well because we're tied to the Schedule A deductions and the Schedule A doesn't allow it, so neither does Oregon.
Yeah, this is one of those examples where when the federal government changes the rule, the state tags along. Thank you. All right, with that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3298 and open a public hearing on House Bill, what's the other number? Oh, House Bill 2978. Colleagues, be aware that for those who are new, there will be days when we have an enormous amount to do and we're going to be rushed to get it done. Other days, when what we're doing is making sure we have bills available for other use later. Please.
So you may want to just look at the.
I'm not saying that applies to any of these bills.
Well, of course.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2978 is a bill relating to the exemption from taxation. It allows a governing body of a taxing district to exempt from district-imposed operating and/or local option taxes a stated dollar amount of the assessed value of the taxable real property that's located within the district. It does, however, require the approval by a majority of the voters of the taxing district voting at the next general or a special election to agree for the taxing district to provide that exemption. And it does take effect the 91st day following adjournment, sine die. I did include in the back on the SMS some of the definition related to operating taxes and local option taxes as well, just for reference.
Thank you. And this was introduced in February and referred to the Revenue Committee. So we don't have the benefit of the Human Services and Housing Committee thinking on the bill because they never got it, even though it was their bill. We have any questions for Kyle? We have three people who have asked to testify, Douglas Schmidt, Wendy Johnson, and Marcia Kelly. So why don't you all come up? Mr. Schmidt, sorry to drag you here yet again. Actually, all three of you are regulars here. I suspect I want Wendy to go first. I assume you're the pro person here, if there is one.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Wendy Johnson here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. I'm actually not sure where we're at.
Okay.
The bill is rather vague and broad in its purpose. We do have a housing crisis in the state, and so the league is supportive of housing exemptions and incentives that work. There's just not enough information in this bill to tell me how this might be used for housing. It basically just gives any taxing authority, so that would be a city or a county or a school district, authority to exempt from the base an amount, but it would have to go to the voters, which is totally new. We don't have that right now. That sounds scary to me, so that's why I'm a big old question mark. And I think Doug will get into this detail right now, but cities and counties and school districts have the ability right now to not impose their full permanent rate. And this bill talks about permanent rate and local option levy. So I did my homework just to see how many do that. And we have 10 cities that don't levy their full permanent rate that was frozen in with the Measure 50. We have 10 cities that do that, the highest being Milwaukee. Has a permanent rate of $6.53, and they only levy $4.08. So they've chosen not to do their full amount to manage their bills and such. So they have that authority. This would give a new authority to the people to decide how much to take off rather than focus on the rate. So we assumed that perhaps this bill was a placeholder bill, but wanted to make sure that was the case.
I'd be tempted to agree with that, except given where it came from.
Exactly.
And so I didn't know who was going to come to testify in favor of it today. Marcia, please.
We're debating here.
Chair Barnhart and members of the committee, Marcia Kelly, public policy advocate for the Oregon Women's Rights Coalition, and I guess I'll just repeat what I told the Senate committee this morning. Discussing exemptions from property taxes at any level put a pressure on the state budget, because those property taxes exempted then go directly to the education of our children and the state budget making up those property taxes. This is a very unclear bill. I think also special districts could also, because special districts are taxing districts and all. It, to me, seems very convoluted and could be confusing to the taxpayer, because if a special district exempts but a county doesn't, or a city exempts and a county doesn't, then they have no idea what is being exempted on their property tax, because it doesn't say that it would be exempted for all. Although I do believe they say something in there about 51%, which I think is very low. In the city of Salem, you pretty much don't need anybody but the city of Salem to do exemptions. So I think I will stop my testimony there. Hopefully it might find a better use if it has a good relating clause.
Yeah, it does say, doesn't it? Approval by a majority of the voters, which does sound like a 51% of the registered voters, or it might be unregistered voters too. Who knows? Doesn't say. I suspect you have similar complaints, Mr. Schmidt.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, yes. In fact, you might want to let, I think it's Michael, one of your staff people, know that my conversation with him when we started was...
Oh, please, would you state your name
Douglas
for the record?
Schmidt. Douglas Schmidt, Polk County
Assessor. We're so used to being here that we forget about it.
I feel like family. Douglas Schmidt, Polk County Assessor, and because the Assessors Association has not had time to actually vote on this, I'm just testifying for Polk County, but we do have concerns. So you might let Michael know that I shouldn't have been quite so rough on him on this bill before the hearing started. So yes, we have some fairly major concerns about this. It is very unclear. We're not sure if they're talking about removing a stated amount of assessed value off of the total assessed value in the district, or if it's a stated amount off of the assessed value of individual property owners. So that is unclear. But either way, there is the whole issue of the districts can levy less than their permanent rate. That would be an issue if they wanted less revenue. We don't have the ability, depending on which way this goes, we don't have the ability to handle it either way in our assessment and taxation programs, mm-hmm. whether it's a lump sum off of the total assessed value or off of each individual district, partly because, or off of each individual property. if it's off of each property, you could have the permanent rate that would be exempt from that assessed value, but the local option could be at the full assessed value. The bonds are always going to be at full assessed value, so we have a property, individual property, with two different assessed values on it that we have to try and calculate the tax for. We're not sure how this would affect any compression, because compression is, again, based on an individual property, and this only reduces the assessed value, not the market value. So there could be less compression involved in this, which is different than the current statutes, Measure 5 and Measure 50. So we're not sure exactly how this would all be calculated, if it would be a mathematical calculation or an exemption similar to a veterans, where you take just a stated amount off of each property's assessed value and then calculate the taxes. So there are a lot of issues. Plus, it doesn't deal with personal property, manufactured homes, or utility property. It's just real property, which is industrial, commercial, residential, apartments. So there's probably a lot more that we could go into, but for now, I would just ask that this bill not move forward, please.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2978. Colleagues, before we adjourn, I just simply wanted to note that we have the bill up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. What's the bill number?
Tax credit.
28. The property sunset, property exemption sunset, House Bill 2859. Sorry?
2859.
2859, yes. And that bill has an amendment, which I haven't reviewed yet, but which was intended to do what we discussed briefly at the end of the public hearing on the bill, which was to remove all the natural resources property from the bill and to remove the items from the bill that already had sunsets attached to them and bring the rest here. The reason I'm telling you about this today is that I've already been told that the farmers are getting ready to load up the buses to come visit us again, and I wanted them to be assured that if the amendment is approved, they needn't worry about that. And I thought I'd said that to them when they left here last time they were here. But in any event, since I got head nods from all the committee members at the time, I assume that that's a safe statement for me to make to the farmers. Please don't come again. We don't need to see you on Thursday. Anything else?
You might tell their advocates.
Yeah, well, they were here a minute ago, and I did tell them.
All right.
Yeah. Representative Johnson, did you have something?
Well, there are more than just farmers that could potentially be impacted by that bill. So
oh, yes.
Everybody else is fair game.
Everyone else is still fair game. Right. The two items that I talked about, natural resources property and properties that already have sunsets, exemptions that already have sunsets, come out via the amendment. Everything else is still in via the amendment. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Enjoy the rest of your time before your next committee. Committee's adjourned.